Okay, all you lovelies out there from Aotearoa, I'm going to see you back here next week, right in the middle of our spring pledge drive. So keep sending that support in. Remember, 612-375-9030 or kfei.org. You stay lovely out there. Take advantage of that sun. Keep spreading that good medicine wherever you go. Shake a hand, smile, share a meal, a story, a song with each other. Let's keep making that good medicine and spreading it all around through all the wonderful work and artistry of these creative natives that are out there. And we're going to do our best to keep bringing that to you over the next few months here at KFEI Fresh Air Community Radio. We're going to indigenize the airwaves here. All right, little Stevie, take us out here. Listening to KFEI Fresh Air Community Radio, 90.3 FM HD1 in Minneapolis and St. Paul, and streaming around the globe at kfei.org. We are non-commercial community-powered radio. We are the community's true voice. Support for this program comes from KFEI listener members and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Programming on KFEI is made possible in part through grants from the state of Minnesota and listeners just like you. It is currently 55 degrees here in the Twins on the banks, west bank of the Mississippi River. Enjoy your evening. Coming up next is Wakunja Hade, Robert Pilot, Ho-Chunk, with the best of Native Roots Radio, I Am Awake.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
What's up? This is Toolman.
And this is Bear Witness.
And we are the Hallucination.
And you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, Best Of.
The Hallucination.
Good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Cody Cuff, Hidney Cuddy.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
A kutagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. They are. This portion of the show is supported by Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon, supporting honest Native news, stories, and events from Natives themselves. Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon.
Right on, and we just got to give a quick shout out to all our allies out there that aren't Native and that support us and in a good way, and we support them, and it's just been a great collaboration over the past 7 years here, Haley. And also, this is an anniversary that you told me about before the show about Standing Rock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was the 8th year anniversary yesterday of the start of the Dakota Resistance Camps for No Dapple.
Yeah, and that's really changed a lot of people's lives over the years and started things and gave amplification of what was going on in Native country. And, you know, we were, Wendy and I were there, and there were over 20,000 people there during Thanksgiving week, and it was amazing. It was probably the second or third largest city in North Dakota at that time, and they were all wanting to protect the water, and it was amazing. And again, it started out where the pipeline was going somewhere else, and they said, no, why don't you put it through the Standing Rock Reservation? And we came out there, and also as part of starting Native Roots Radio, because we started this show originally talking about what was happening at Standing Rock every week and having updates on that. And so Native Roots Radio started from the Standing Rock No Dapple protests that was happening all over the country, but all over the world. People from all over the world were in North Dakota during that time. So it was pretty amazing and life-changing thing for many people, including Wendy and I.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's so hard to believe that was 8 years ago. I know that we talk about the show has been going on for 7 years, but the start of it all really was just a year before that even. So mm-hmm. always good to remember that. And, you know, us natives and allies, we're always going to show up for things like that.
Yeah. When I went down there with the first time, and I believe it was in October, with students from the school I was teaching at, and MN350 and Ho-Chunk Nation helped pay for the buses that went down there. And it was amazing. There was only about 1,000 people there at the camp, which was quite a few. And we had a student, Nolan, that was down there a couple weeks earlier, and there was only a few people there keeping an eye on the digging of the pipeline heading towards the river. And Haley, there was a plane or a helicopter flying 24/7 while we were there. And for the longest time after that, I think Wendy and I both, every time we saw a helicopter, would look up and kind of go, wow, you know, it was mm-hmm. It was totally a weird situation. And with that, and it was, again, amazing thing that happened. I believe a lot of things happen in a good way because of that too, with just people recognizing that natives are still here and still have the struggle. And we were here amplifying that here on Native Roots Radio.
Absolutely. Yeah. So just keep an eye on that. No Dapple going on out there. Bringing it back, though, to the Twin Cities, I want to mention one of our great sponsors, Native American Community Clinic. NAC has another cedar ceremony happening this Thursday, April 4th, tomorrow at the Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center in Minneapolis mm-hmm. at 5 p.m. Again, that's NAC's cedar ceremony.
Absolutely. Hey, and who do we have on for guests today? We have our Wednesday lineup. It's going to be an all Ho-Chunk segment here soon.
Yes, absolutely. We have our Ho-Chunk sister, Arvina Martin, who is the executive director of Emerge Wisconsin. So we're going to talk some election stuff, I'm sure, some politics. Also, I know there's another thing going on at the Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center this weekend, mm-hmm. And that is their spring market happening this Friday, April 5th, you know, and that's going to be a really big turnout with vendors, so I'm excited to go over to the Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center, find some new earrings, some big auntie earrings, and just, you know, have a good time with all of the friends and relatives out there. And then also, kind of going out of the cities here this weekend, we have the 39th annual University of Minnesota Morris Powwow happening Saturday, April 6th at the Cougar Sports Center in Morris, Minnesota. Admission is free and a feast will be provided. Doors open at 9 a.m. Again, that is the 39th annual University of Minnesota Morris Powwow at the Cougar Sports Center in Morris, Minnesota.
Yeah, that's exciting stuff. Again, everybody listening, always ask. And when you go to these markets, it's exciting because you have Native artists there and you can meet the artist. But if you're out and about, always ask who made these things, because we know there's superstores that have really good appropriation going on. And so you want to support Natives. Anybody, if they're selling the earrings or the jewelry. It's anybody can wear it, and that's the reason why they're selling it. It's open, and you're supporting the Native artists that are beading this with each prayer or designing this, whether it's a T-shirt. And I just noticed, Haley, I'm wearing the same T-shirt I did yesterday.
Oh, I think I'm wearing one of the T-shirts you wore earlier in the week, too. But, you know.
Well, Wendy and I are still in New York, and we went to the beach, and it's like a hurricane or a not a hurricane. What would that be, Wendy? Oh, it is a hurricane.
Yeah.
And the wind is blowing and howling, and we're thinking about, I think it's going to lighten up at midnight around, and we're going to try and make it home. And I know Wisconsin's gotten hit by a lot of snow, and we're going to have Arvina on here soon and talk over some of the results and what happened yesterday's primary in Wisconsin. And she's totally plugged in, so it'll be interesting to hear what she has to say about that. And we'll have Bob Blake from Red Lake on later on too, talking Solar Bear with the Solar News.
I'm excited to hear about what else is going on up there with Red Lake and all of that fun stuff. I just want to mention too, for our Minnesota friends and everyone here in the Twin Cities, we can keep voting for the Twin Cities Star Tribune for Minnesota's best, and a couple Native organizations that are in there. You can actually cast your vote still for NACD's Four Sisters Farmers Market under Shopping and under Farmers Market. Again, that's NACD's Four Sisters Farmers Market. And also you can vote for Vig Guitar Shops under Shopping and Musical Instrument Store. That is Angie Vig, Vig Guitar off of Stelling there. They'll help you out with any and all of your instrument needs.
I still got to go there and get a strap for my guitar so I can walk around and play the guitar in the house.
Yeah, well, they have some of the coolest straps out there. I would buy one, and I don't even play. So,
well, I don't either, but that's never stopped me from buying something. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we're going to have Arvina Martin on here in the next segment, and we're excited, and we're doing the radio show here out east. We're an hour ahead, and Wendy and I will be eating right after the show, and we're excited. We have Indian food from India.
Ooh, lucky you.
We'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us.
We are Halusa Nation.
To our elders who teach us of our creation and our past, so we may preserve Mother Earth for ancestors yet to come, we are the land.
This is dedicated to our relatives before us thousands of years ago, and to the 150 million who were exterminated across the Western Hemisphere in the first 400 years' time.
Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Just Steve's Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul, native-owned, bringing us the best coffee that keeps us awake.
I am awake. Hey, we have Arvina Martin on, Executive Director of Merge Wisconsin. And Arvina, you are plugged in with our Wisconsin elections. How are you doing today?
Doing pretty good. How about you guys?
Well, I'm doing good. How's the weather? I heard Wisconsin got hit and Minnesota didn't.
We got all kinds of snow. I think it is still snowing. I work in my basement, though, so I haven't been upstairs in a little while. But last time I was upstairs, it was still snowing. Yesterday, I went downstairs to start working. It was raining. And then when I came back upstairs, it was snowing really hard, and it was just, it was wild. Wow. Roads were not great.
Well, what's the weather look like tomorrow? Because we're trying to come in on Friday. It's going to be cleared up by then.
I believe it should be cleared up. It's supposed to stop. All of our winter warnings are done for the evening. So,
well, that's awesome. Hey, let's jump into the presidential primary results. And I know there was a couple other elections, too, in Wisconsin. Joe Biden, no surprise, got 88% of the vote. And we'd like to talk a little bit about the uninstructed got 8.3% vote. 48,000 votes.
Yeah, that is a movement that is inspired. Well, I don't want to say inspired, but in response to the president's handling of the issue on Israel and Gaza. So, you know, they're upset with I believe, especially now with the president's sending more machinery and weapons to Israel, and especially given the actions that just happened recently with the killing of seven World Kitchen volunteers, aid workers, you know, that folks are expressing their dissent with him on that particular policy, and that they're very unhappy and want to make sure that the president sees.
Right. It would be different if they voted for what that Minnesota guy, Dean Phillips, but they are giving the president a direct message. We had it called in Minnesota, uncommitted, and I believe we had almost 45,000 here in Minnesota during the primary.
Yeah. And it's been happening. It happened in Michigan as well. I'm not sure what other states have had substantial uncommitted. I think each state has different language as to what that kind of vote is called. But yeah, it has been popping up. And, you know, it is an issue that the president is going to have to, you know, deal with as this. I mean, he has to be dealing with it now and you know, is going to have to answer to as the campaign goes on.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And we do talk about this, and we definitely don't want Trump, but we definitely have to give the Biden administration a heads up here that it is an issue. People are not happy, and you can't be happy with what's happening there, because genocide's genocide no matter how you slice it.
Well, and I think that we've gotten to a point where people think that in order to support a political candidate or someone in office, that you need to support them 100% of the time, and that you can't be a supporter if there's something that you disagree with them about. And and I think that we need to kind of remove that notion from ourselves and say, yes, I support a candidate, but of course I'm not going to agree with them 100% of the time on 100% of the issues. And so, you know, making sure that your voice is heard when you do disagree, you know, does that mean that the candidate or the elected official is going to ultimately act the way that you would like them to? It doesn't mean that they will, but that's how our system of government works. That's how our democracy works, is that, you know, we choose people to vote and make decisions in our stead, and we get to tell them if we think they're making mistakes. And that's what part of this process is.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a good, that's a really good reminder too, because, you know, things have changed in my lifetime. You know, the Democrats in the 60s were pro-war, and then in the 70s, you know, anti-war, and, you know, with the Nixon administration. So you have to listen and be careful about what you're hearing, and also speak up when you don't agree.
Yeah. And remember that these candidates and the people that are serving in a public office are not infallible, that these are human beings that are going to make mistakes from time to time. And, you know, how they act after making a mistake, you know, do they own up to it? Do they try to make, try to make amends for what they've done? Or, you know, how they handle themselves after, you know, realizing that they've made a mistake, I mean, ultimately tells you about their character. And we've got to stop expecting perfectionism, or perfection rather, from everybody at all times, you know, and understand how they react to bumps in the road or their own, you know, tripping over their own feet. Like that does tell you a lot about who they are as a person.
Well, we had
We
had the vice president's husband on Native Roots Radio, and then shortly thereafter, the vice president spoke up against what was happening, and then right after that, the president, and then world view and world votes changed too. And now Israel is acting on their own pretty much, but we're still supporting them with monies and artillery and things that we don't like and shouldn't be.
Yeah, I mean, it's people making the case and making their voices heard. I mean, that is what changes the discourse. So people continuing to, you know, share their thoughts and their feelings and I do want to say in a way that is not harmful, you know, like not in a nonviolent way, you know, just to, as a caveat there, that continuing that discourse is one of the ways that we move that discourse. And so, continuing to share information about what's happening, continuing to share thought pieces about perspectives that some people may not have considered, is a great way to kind of grow people's thoughts and grow people's opinions and on this, and because this is a complicated issue, and the backstory is thousands of years old. You know, and a lot of people get nervous wading in because there is such a tremendous backstory. Mm-hmm. And the more information people have is always going to be better.
Yeah, absolutely. We only got a couple minutes left in this segment. I want to jump back to the Wisconsin election.
Yeah.
There was a couple things on the ballot that were voted on. Do you recall what those are?
I recall them being garbage. they both passed. They were both poorly worded and designed for the right wing to take advantage of things. And really, that's all you need to know. and there was a lot of advertising, you know, the right wing advertising saying, if you don't vote for this, the NRA will get their way, and to trick liberals into voting for it. And it's very, very frustrating. And and yes, it was both of them were worded very, very poorly, so that people that were trying to look at it and understand what they were trying to vote on were, you know, like I was standing in the little, the carrels, is that what they were called? Where you go vote, the little voting carrels?
We call them voting booths, but...
Voting booths, yeah. I was just thinking about something else.
Christmas, it sounded like.
I'm going to have to look this up later. Anyways, but I was sitting in the little booth areas and I could hear people saying, what does that even mean? Like, I don't get it. you know, and they do it by design and in order to get something they want. So
exactly. Well, in the art of war, one of the things is chaos, and we know the Republicans are full of chaos and they're playing that game. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio. We're with Arvina Martin, Executive Director of Merge, and we'll be right back after this short break.
KFAI is proud to present Destroyer at the Turf Club on Saturday, April 13th. Destroyer's Dan Behar will be performing a solo set accompanied by frequent collaborator and producer David Carswell. Opening the show is Vancouver-based Lightning Dust. Tickets for Destroyer can be found at the First Avenue website. Visit first-avenue.com for more details.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by All My Relations Arts and their current gallery exhibit, Okizi, in partnership with the American Swedish Institute, now until April 13th, off of Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis.
Hey, we're here with Arvina Martin, Executive Director of Merge Wisconsin. And Arvina, before I get going, I want to wish you a happy belated Founders Day for Ho-Chunk Nation.
Yes, happy Founders Day to you and to Haley as well.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you can tell our listening audience a little bit about Founders Day. Did you happen to make it to the first powwow in La Crosse?
No, I couldn't. I have a lower back injury, and sitting in the car that long was going to be really hard.
Oh no, that wasn't from rollerblading, was it?
No, not roller derby related, but just they think I might have had it for a long time. But yeah. Anyways, Founders Day is related to the work of what was known as the Wisconsin Winnebago Business Committee, that worked together. And I believe they wrote the Constitution and did all the work that was necessary to get the Wisconsin Winnebago tribe recognized by the federal government. And I believe the first chair was Helen Miller Minor. Is it Miller Minor or Minor Miller?
I think Miller Minor.
Miller Minor, yeah. Yeah. So I never realized until maybe the past year or so that our first chair was a woman. And ever since I found that out, I was always really proud about that. That was pretty cool.
And that was back in 1963, so not that long ago, seeing that I was born in 1961.
Yeah, yeah. And there's a picture floating around of that group. I wish we could get someone to, like, clean it up and make it, like, bigger, you know, so it wouldn't be so grainy, because that's a pretty historic picture for us and for our nation. And you know, I didn't know the story about it until very recently. And I think that, you know, that's the kind of thing that our youth should all be getting to know. I think that's something that kids in Wisconsin schools should get to know as well. You know, with Act 31, that is not super implemented in Wisconsin schools, even though it's the law. But, you know, I think it's a really important thing. And it was really exciting to see that we were having a powwow to celebrate this year.
Yeah, first annual. And I'm in New York right now, so I wasn't able to make it. But I plan on the next times for sure. 1963, our elders really were very futuristic and looking forward to the future. As I have been studying the law the last 3 years, it's pretty amazing how things were put together back then that still remain in place and for our people.
Yeah, I mean, their foresight really provided so much for all of us. And it's really a great example of that. You know, that seven generation thinking. We, you know, I think about how I mean, just from a financial sense, I was able to go to college and be able to afford it. And I wouldn't have been able to if I didn't have, if the nation wasn't there. Mm-hmm. You know, all the support that I've gotten, not just financially, but from assistance from people that have worked for the nation, but also, you know, relatives and people, just tribal members, you know, we help each other out.
Absolutely. And with our financial helpings, people don't realize, you know, that we're the only government that gives back to our people. You know, you talk about the United States government, they're not giving back money. If the nation does better, we get taxed more. And that's a unique thing that that you don't see everywhere, but you do see in Indian country where they give back to the nation, whether it's medical, financial, or whatever. It's good to be Indian.
I mean, and I was thinking too about how when my Gaga was older, that the nation helped provide us with a respite worker. So my Gaga was able to live with us until she passed. Mm-hmm. So we never had to worry about putting her in a care facility. You know, like, had it gotten to the, you know, to the point where she had needed to go for like respite, like into hospice or something, you know, that would have been a different story. But, you know, we had someone that was able to come and help us take care of her. So she was able to stay with us longer. And, you know, having my Gaga in my life growing up and into young adulthood was really important. And, you know, is sadly not an experience that lots of people get to experience in the United States these days. You know, the whole nuclear family seems to be the center, and you miss out on so much because you don't get to hear stories about what your grandparents did or like what life was like for them. Mm-hmm. And I'm so grateful that we had those opportunities.
Yeah, it's so important for tribal nations in general. I know when I turned 60, that was a big deal. And when I turned 70, being a lead elder, that's going to be even a bigger deal. I'm just a baby elder right now. You know? But still, it comes with perks and taking care of your people and taking care of the old ones and the young ones.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, and that's what society should be doing, you know, mm-hmm. taking care of the ones that aren't able to take care of themselves for whatever reason, you know, it makes sense to me.
Right. It does. It really does. And we're blessed to be in a nation that does do that for its elders and the young ones. And I am totally lucky and blessed of the help and things that the nation's done for me over the years.
Absolutely. Same here.
Yeah. So Arvina, let's catch up. We haven't talked in a while. A little bit about Emerge and what's happening with Emerge Wisconsin right now.
Yeah, we are in the middle, not the middle, but we've had our first training session. Our class of 2024 has started. It is a small and mighty group, but we do have some Wangshiks, a couple Native women in our class, which is really great. I think this is the first time that we've had more than one Native person in the class at once. So this is pretty cool. I'm pretty excited about that. We're going to be having our second training weekend coming up where we will be talking about looking at campaigns with an equity and justice lens. So, you know, learning how to look at your campaign to make sure that you are reaching folks that are not just the people that are front and center, the people that are that are asking for everything, making sure you're getting to reach the people that are quiet about things as well. And making sure that you are, you know, accessible to folks that might not always might not always have the best access. So, you know, talking about all the DEI terms that I know are scary to the opposite side of the aisle. But yeah, we're plugging along, and we are training this class up. We've got and the other cool thing is we've got a couple ladies that are going to be running for office this fall. So
Whoa.
They are going to be putting their brand new skills straight to use.
Well, you'll have to, when you do my show as a host, you'll have to have them on and give them some exercise on interviews on radio.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, so just remind everyone how people can support Emerge Wisconsin and a little bit about it for some of the listeners that are just tuning in.
Yeah, so Emerge Wisconsin is part of a nationwide network, and we train Democratic women and non-binary folks who are comfortable in female-centered spaces on how to run for office. You can go to my website, it's wi.emergeamerica.org. You can find out more information about our program, and you can donate there. And you can find my contact information, or you can right now listen to me say my email, arvina@emergewi.org. Send me an email if you've got questions about running for office. If you want to learn more about running for office or just a question about politics, send me an email and we'll chat.
Absolutely. That's great. And we always look forward to Haley and I always look forward to have you on because of the great energy that you have. And I just want to give everybody a quick that don't remember that Arvina was the first Native American city council member in Madison, Wisconsin, which is something to applaud and talk about every day that we see you.
Oh, thank you. It was fun.
Well, any last words before we let you go?
I don't want it to snow anymore. That's all I have.
I agree.
Great. Well, thanks. Thanks so much for being on, and hopefully we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, I look forward to it.
Right on. Arvina Martin, CEO of Emerge Wisconsin. Hey, up next, we got Bob Blake, and we got time to bring Pop Bob on here real quick.
Yeah, bring Bob on.
Hey, Bob, look at that. TC's glowing in the dark. Oh, wow. Bob Blake from Red Lake, welcome to Native Roots Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's the Solar Bear with the Solar News. You know what? Madison is like a big college town. It's just a big, isn't it? Like,
yep.
I was just there. I just gave a presentation. I just did a presentation over there on agrivoltaics at the University of Wisconsin, Madison.
Yes. And, I live in Madison, and we love Madison. I think Wendy and I would live in Madison if we weren't living in the Twin Cities.
It reminded me of like a big dinky town.
All right. Hey, we're going to have Robert Blake from Red Lake on next. This is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and it will be the Solar Bear with the Solar News.
We are Calusa Nation.
Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Bye.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of this show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, it is Fun Fact Friday. We'll have Wendy on soon here, but we have our State Senator Mary Kunish here, and we're talking, talking about her week, and it's great to have you back on, and I know this is like a really popular for people that listen to our show. They really, really like Fun Fact Friday and having State Senator Mary Kunish come on. So we have bills going on still, and yep. There's some things happening. I don't know. There's a couple bills that you have authored. Maybe you can fill us in what's going on.
Sure. So we are getting close. I think we have 7 more weeks of the legislature officially. So we're winding up hearing the bills. Any bill that was just policy with no funding in it had to be, the deadline was last Friday, it had to be heard by last Friday. So now all the policy committees are putting together their policy bills. And then there's a matching finance committee for some of them, not all of them, but most of them. So like I'm chair of education finance. We did get our targets, which is like how much money we would have to spend on whatever committee we're in. So education, it's not anything compared to what we had last year. Last year was phenomenal. We had so much opportunity to invest in Minnesota across the state, not just in education, but housing and everything else. And so now I am hearing the last of our finance bills in the next week. And then within the next couple of weeks, we'll be putting together our finance bill where we can spend the dollars. The governor sent us over. His budget was only around $2 million, but we have to match that up with the House. So all three of those bodies have to be in agreement. So we'll be working on putting together our finance bill and presenting it to the legislature. And then we still have to go through conferences and finish up by the end of May. So we're moving right along for sure.
Absolutely. And I know there's things happening, the state being a really big state, there's stuff happening up in the reservations up north, and maybe you can fill in and give some accurate information about what's going on with a couple bills that are being proposed.
Yeah. So a couple weeks ago, I introduced a bill to return the White Earth State Forest to White Earth. It's 100% inside of the reservation. And so the White Earth is ready and willing and hopeful to carry the responsibility, the stewardship of that forest. And so we have that bill. And I introduced also for Red Lake a bill to return state-owned land. So this is really only state-owned land that is on the on Red Lake. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important to recognize that all that state-owned land on Red Lake was originally part of the original treaty. Mm-hmm. And then the federal government sliced off that portion and took it away from that tribe. And I think it's important to know, and I'm hearing all kinds of misinformation or panic, and I understand these people. I mean, really and truly, I hear you and I'm listening to them and you know, trying to be as empathetic as possible. And there's a big discussion about, will this land remove my rights to my home or my cabin? And the answer is no. Mm-hmm. Privately owned lands or homes will not be, are not part of the return to the tribes. Mm-hmm. Only the state-owned lands will be returned to Upper Red Lake.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, then there's this panic that Red Lake is going to close all the roads, which is the same thing that was said when we presented the bill for White Earth. And no, the roads will not be restricted or closed. And we heard that directly from the leadership of Red Lake. They put out a document that reiterated that. Of course, there are so many people so worried about being able to hunt and fish on that land. And again, non-Indians will be able to obtain hunting permits through Red Lake to hunt on the tribe's off-reservation restored ceded lands. When that happens, non-Indians are still going to be able to obtain permits to fish the small lakes around the Red Lake Reservation. And they're going to be free to use a portion of Upper Red Lake that's currently available for fishing and other uses. Mm-hmm. And it's the same with any of the recreational opportunities that have been going on all this time. And so, you know, there's a big panic. I can understand. Imagine the panic when the tribes lost all of those sovereign rights. And now we're seeing it coming from the other folks. But it's just really important to know that this isn't done in a vicious way. And I know there are conversations, things being said back and forth. And like I told you earlier, it really hurts my heart to hear this and see this. And I wish people would not do that. You know, so often when I have conversations with non-Native folks up there and they start rattling off all this stuff that they're hearing. And I say, have you spoken with the tribes? Mm-hmm. Have you gone to the tribes and heard from them directly? And not one person has said that they have. And perhaps that's intimidating or they don't know who to contact or they're nervous about it. But I think these conversations really have to be done. And I think one thing that's really kind of broken my heart is that this is the animosity is happening between kids as well. Mm-hmm. So it's not just the adults, the children, the youth are listening. Kids that have played on sports teams together, played together, lived next door to each other, hunted and fished together, are now looking at each other like, are you going to take my house? Mm-hmm. Are you going to shut down my store? And that's just not the case.
Right. I think what we deal with now, not only is rumors, but a lot of misinformation and people trying to stir the pot up, because the way you explained it, it's very simple. It's a government land given back. It's not private land. Those two things make total sense to me as you put it in simple terms like that. But with all these innuendos and people stirring up the pot and people not listening to each other or not asking the right questions each other, we can get into this. So I'm really glad that you're here straightening that out and bringing the truth, because that's really important. What we've always tried to do here is really speak from the truth perspective and try and stay away from rumors. So I appreciate that.
Yeah. It's, you know, I just always wonder why people jump to the worst conclusions immediately and don't reach out. I know there are people that are stoking the fires up there and want to create that that conflict for whatever reason. But, you know, we're going to do the best we can. And I also want to share that this isn't going to happen overnight. This isn't going to happen next week or by the end of session. There's still a lot of work that needs to be done, both with the White Earth land return and Red Lake. You know, there's work that has to be done through the DNR. There's work that will probably have to be done through the federal government. In a way, this starts the conversation. It doesn't end the conversation. And so I'm hoping that people will just step back for a minute, take a breath, start talking to each other in a good way, and have those assurances and the reality of not much should change by returning these lands. And these are the state-owned lands. They're not the private lands. They're not those other pieces of land. These are just the state-owned land. And I don't have the map with me, but there's a map that shows those areas, those chunks of land in yellow that the state has. And it's not the biggest portion. It's not a lot of space. So we'll see.
Yeah. And I know, like, when we talked to Bob Blake from Red Lake, Solar Bear with the Solar News, he was talking about that they had been asking for this land back for a long, long time. And I don't, before the 60s and 70s when I was around. So they've been kind of asking this because they were a little tricked into signing that treaty, because it ended up, like I think you kind of alluded to in the beginning, that that treaty was the whole lake at one time. And then when it came to signing treaties, they were kind of tricked into that portion being cut off, the northern part.
Yeah. And there are letters and documents where the chief of Red Lake at the time said, that's not what we agreed to. We don't want to give up that part of the lake. Why would we give up that part of the lake? That's not what we agreed to. So there's historical documentation of those lands, or of the chief and the tribes will not being respected and upholded. They just ignored it and said, you know, probably said, we can't give them the whole lake, give them most of the lake, but we're not giving them all the lake. And it's important to go back in history, even though people think it's, we should only be looking forward.
No, that's awesome. And I'm glad you were here to straighten that out, because there has been conversation. Hey, we're here with State Senator Mary Kunis, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
This is the Minnesota Dose on KFAI. Two vaccines, one jab. That's the plan for Moderna's new formula to vaccinate against both COVID-19 and influenza. What's more, the COVID component has been reformulated, and the company's phase 3 trials show the vaccine eliciting a higher immune response when compared to their most recently approved booster. The new doses will come in pre-filled syringes and have a longer shelf life. Moderna says these improvements will increase access to vaccination in new settings. With phase 3 trials complete, next up is a review from the FDA. In case you're curious about those phase trials, phase 1 determines safety and side effects. Phase 2 further tests safety and evaluates effectiveness among larger sample sizes. And then phase 3 confirms effectiveness, monitors side effects, and compares it with similar products. This third sample size is usually made up of thousands of people, and in the case of Moderna's new COVID booster, that sample size was over 11,400 people. There is a phase 4, which continues to track safety after the drug is released. For the Minnesota Dose on KFAI, I'm Ryan Dawes.
KFAI is proud to present Hattus Noit at the Cedar Cultural Center on Sunday, April 7th. The Cedar is honored to host the U.S. debut of Hattus Noit, a Japanese vocal performer whose impressive range is inspired by everything from Japanese classical music and operatic styles of gagaku, to Bulgarian and Gregorian chanting, to avant-garde and pop music. Opening the show is local duo Chama Devora. Tickets for Hattus Noit can be found at the Cedar Cultural Center website. Visit thecedar.org for more details.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! Ooh, Wendy got a howl in, too, off camera here. Awesome. Hey, before we get going with Bob, can we mention the roundtable, the artist roundtable that's coming up, Haley?
Oh, yeah, for All My Relations Arts Gallery. They have a fun thing going on this Saturday, April 6th. You can join the Native artists that are part of that exhibition from 1 to 3 p.m., again, at 1414 East Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. This event is limited in attendance, so please RSVP to reserve a spot this Saturday, again, at All My Relations Arts Gallery in Minneapolis. You can register at eventbrite.com or under allmyrelationsarts.org.
Hey, we have Bob Blake. We do our Solar Bear with the Solar News, and Robert owns the Solar Bear Company and also a Native Sun, a nonprofit solar enterprise. Bob, before we get going on with the news, do you have any updates with what's happening with the land up in Red Lake?
You know what? No, I don't. I'm sorry, everyone. I do know, though, that that's, you know, getting pretty contentious, especially on Facebook. There's a lot of, I think, you know, social media always has that, though, right? But
right.
I think folks are getting really contentious about, you know, what this means for them and you know, what's Red Lake going to do? And there's all these lies going on, you know what I mean? So I really want us to, you know, hopefully, you know, I mean, hopefully everyone that's, you know, at least on Red Lake side, just keep it really positive and, you know, just keep moving forward and work through this process, because it's a difficult, you know, it's a difficult transition.
Yeah, like State Senator Mary Kunis said on our show, they're not doing a land grab of people with mansions around the lake. It's the federally and state-owned land that is being given back.
Yes, exactly. And I think what we have is we have a lot of folks out there that are on social media that are, you know, saying that we're, you know, going to go and take them off their land and, you know, just all this crazy stuff. And it can't be further from the truth. Yeah.
Right. Some people are paranoid. Maybe that's what they would have done. So the Red Lake tribe's not into doing that and not being good neighbors, because they all have to live together up there.
Right. And I, you know, hope that, you know, that message, Robert, that you just said really gets through, you know, to the folks that are, you know, up there and just across, you know, the country, that I don't think Native people, you know, we're not here to, you know, throw anybody off their land or, you know, take the land. Although that was done to us, but
right.
You know, we're not here trying to do all that. We're just trying to work within the system and do what's right, you know. And Robert, if I could just say this, I heard this story when I was a kid.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, like, that was, like, forever ago in a day. And, I mean, you know, that's how long this has been talked about and has been contested. So, to everyone, you know, to all the listeners out there, this isn't just something that happened this last year. I mean, this last couple of months. This has been going on for, you know, pretty much all my adult life. I know that. All my life.
Absolutely. And I think it's things that need to be talked about and brought up. And I'm glad you had such a great report last week. And I don't think there's too much more that's happening other than maybe, you know, the social media is going a little crazy. And I've had friends that I've went to school with that have cabins up there that are going, can you talk to the state senator? And I'm just going, you got the wrong information here. And there's websites up there that are giving out bad information. So that's why I wanted to bring it up with you again, just to bring it around and the positive thing that's happening, that the state and the federal are giving back the land. It's not they're taking these $1 million cabins off the lake.
Right. Yeah. You know, and I've got family that, you know, live on the lake, and I was just telling them, you know, I was like, you realize if you were like up there on that side of the lake, you'd have $1 million home.
Right.
I mean,
with insulation and everything.
Yeah. Do you realize like, how rich you would be making these bankers and financiers and, you know, all these, real estate agents and, you know, I mean, just think about the system that we've created that creates all this wealth for all these other individuals. You know what I mean? Through land. You know what I mean? It's crazy to think about it that way, though, too. Right.
Right. Well, they're not making more land, so that's the good investment, no matter where you are. But hey, talk a little bit about your experience in Madison again.
I want to say one thing about that.
Okay.
Just real quickly. They aren't making any more land, but I'm just saying, I want to put this out there to everybody. The land bridge over at Rondo,
Yeah.
That's making land. That's making more land. I'm just saying, just throwing that out there. I don't know what's going to happen with all that.
Right.
Hint, but that's something to be thinking about. Okay, folks.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at kfai.org, non-commercial, community-powered radio.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic, please.
Oh, it's bursting with ultrasonic.
Gin and tonic.
Oh, it's bursting with...